Okay. There was foggy in some places today. It wasn't necessarily foggy up our way, but a little hazy off in the distance. You know, we all like to see what's out there, you know. We all want to see perfectly, have that 20/20 vision, and we all want to see, and you know, we all go get vision tests to see what we can see to help us. And you know, one of the most popular surgeries is this, you know, the laser LASIK eye surgery that helps us to see better, bring our vision back into focus. And it's one of the more popular surgeries today. But you know, some people just are gifted with the ability to see more than the average person. You know, this isn't really a person, but Superman did have X-ray vision, you know. He could see all kinds of things, you know. He could see outside things, but he could also see into them to see what really was going on and really the truth of what was happening. He could see inside, you know. Race car drivers also have a different kind of vision. I've read that they can just see things that are going so much faster than most people can do. You know, the old records, 33, 45, 78, you know, they could see a 78 record spinning around and could read the label. They had that ability to be able to read things that fast. And that way, you know, and it tells, because in their race car, you know, they're going at such speeds that they're aware of what's around them. They can see things happening where the normal person can't. You know, top baseball players, the really good hitters see the ball differently than others, those that make professional baseball. Ted Williams could tell you where he hit the ball. They put a collar on his bat and had him hit some balls, and he could tell them what seam and where he hit the ball at when he hit it. That's a ball coming at you, you know, 80, 90 miles an hour. To tell them exactly where you hit the ball with the bat, and they would go check it, and yep, that's where he hit it. The mark from the bat would be exactly where he said it was. So they have the ability to see things, but they have a greater vision than we do. You know, Larry Bird was even talking about, see, video after video of him, you know, all the guys talking about, well, he was really good, but he was slow. You know, he couldn't jump. He wasn't athletic, you know, all the stuff he couldn't do. But what he could do is he could see, which all the players could see, but he had vision. You know, he couldn't just see what's around him. They always talk about his vision for the game, his feel for the game, but his vision allowed him to see things that were going to happen as they were happening, but what was coming up to happen. You know, he was ahead of them in that way. They could see what was in front of them, but he had the vision to understand what was the whole thing, what the big picture, what was happening and what was coming. You know, all of us see, but not all of us have vision. You know, seeing or sight is what's in front of us. You know, that seems simple. But even that, what we see in front of us, we have things like feelings and emotions that play a part in telling us if that's right or if that's wrong or if what we're seeing is actually true. So seeing can take us away from what's really true. Seeing has limitations if we're only seeing what's there. Vision is seeing what's really there. It's what's really true. It's what's really happening. You know, vision allows us not only to see, but have an understanding for what can be beyond what we see. You know, what's happening and what can happen. Helen Keller, she said, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision. You know, just what they can see is it. They don't see the extra. You know, we're going to be in 2 Kings. It's a little bit long today. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 22. But I want to read you how Elisha opened the eyes of someone. This is Elisha. The king of Aram and the king of Israel are always at it. The king of Aram was always going to attack Israel. And through messages from God, Elisha's always able to tell the king of Israel, said, look, they're going to attack right here. You need to get ready. So he was prepared. He could go there, and he knew every time that the king of Aram was going to attack in a certain place. And that's what we're going to read about this morning. So 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 22. It says, "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel, and after conferring with his officers, he said, 'I will set up my camp in such and such place.' And the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going to be down there.' So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. And time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram, and he summoned his officers and demanded to them, 'Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?' 'None of us, my lord the king,' said one of the officers, 'but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom.' 'Go find out where he is,' the king ordered, 'so I can send men and capture him.' And the report came back, 'He is in Dothan.' Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, 'Strike this army with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. And Elisha told them, 'This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for.' And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see.' Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and they were there. And there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, 'Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?' 'Do not kill them,' he answered. 'Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master.' So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory." A little long, but a lot of stuff there, I think. King of Aram's so mad that Elisha keeps telling the king of Israel, warning of his plans, that he sends this whole army of horses and chariots at night to surround him. He finds out where he's at. He said, "Locate him, we're going to go get him." Now keep in mind, this is a large army of horses and chariots for one guy. That's how much power he had. Now Elisha's there. He had an assistant, or a servant, as they say. This is a new one. The previous one decided to do some things on his own, if you read earlier in the book of Kings. And he no longer works for Elijah. Elijah had to let him go. He chose to do things on his own that God wouldn't approve of. So this is kind of a new servant or assistant to him. And, you know, he hadn't been around Elisha, I don't believe, that long. He hadn't seen all the things that came through Elisha's life, that the Lord had done in Elisha's life. And so this guy got up early, and he went out and he saw all these horses and chariots and soldiers surrounding, and then he goes into, you can imagine, kind of in panic mode, you know. He said, "What are we going to do? You know, there's no way out. We're trapped. They got us." Elisha rolled over and said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "Those with us are more than those with them." And I'm sure the servant started kind of looking around like, "Yeah, I don't see anybody else." You know, he saw the enemies, all he saw. He didn't see anybody else that could save them, let alone be greater than the enemy that was out there. But Elisha prayed and asked the Lord to open the eyes of the servant. You know, to give him vision. You know, he saw what he saw. He saw the enemy there, saw the horses, saw the soldiers, saw the chariots. But Elisha asked the Lord to open his eyes, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He truly saw what God was doing. You know, he had the vision to see it all beyond what his eyes initially told him. There's more than just what we see going on. You know, we need to have faith vision. We need to see in faith. We need to see it in everyday life. We need to see it in ourselves. We need to see it in others. We need to see God working in all things. You know, worldly glasses have us focus generally only on the circumstances or the instances that we run into each day. You know, we need to adjust our focus. You know, we can focus on worldly things or heavenly things. You know, we can focus on things we think are important, or we can focus on things which God says are important. Where's our focus? You know, the attacks generally happen in the darkness. You know, the king sent his horses and chariots in the night to surround him. You know, we all have dark times. We all have tough times. You know, maybe it's in a job that we have. It's not going well. It's not going well at all. Maybe it's in finances. We're struggling. Maybe it's in betrayals of friends or family. Maybe it's just in the hurts of those around us. Maybe you've had a broken heart. But God can help us out of that darkness. You know, we don't have to stay there. In those times, he's surrounding us with his protection and his love. You know, maybe you initially can't see it. But if you ask, he can offer you, you know, the army has night vision that you see in the dark. Hunters have it now, you know, to see in the dark. They got cameras and everything. He can offer you the night vision. So when you're in the darkness, you can see the good. You can see in the dark. You're able to see what's around you. You're able to see him working in that dark place. And you can have a peace and a confidence in the unseen because he's there. But he can open your eyes to see his love. He can open your eyes to see what he's doing. You know, Psalm 66:5 says, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. God has done so much. And we can see it every day. Just drive down here. You know, drive around, see what he's done. You know, all the things we have, all the things he's provided for us. You know, he's done awesome things for man. You know, it says, who is man that he cared for us? But he loves us. He does those things for us. You know, look to Jesus. You know, I should have requested a song. But you know that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. But you got to look full. You can't just glance. You got to look full. You got to have that vision. Got to look full in his face. And then it says the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Don't just see, but look deeper at things. Just don't look at the superficial. Look for good and bad. You might find some. Don't just see the circumstances, but really look. You know, have vision for what's God doing in them. See the signs that God's putting in your path, because there's going to be signs. He's going to show you. See with faith. Don't see with fear. Things may look foggy, maybe a little hard to see, but trust things when they don't look good. Trust God when they don't look good. When it seems like you're surrounded in the darkness, have a vision for what can be, not just what is. that you can see. See deeper and look for God's plan. Don't be blinded and miss out. Because we can miss out for not paying attention. You know, we need to see the victories. You know, it's, you know, say Satan versus God's going on all the time. There's spiritual war going on all the time. And what Satan means for bad, God changes to good. He can use those things. You know, pain can bring healing. You know, nobody likes pain. But it can bring healing if we see it. And it may not be to ourselves, but it can be for others. If we use it, if we see it, if we have the vision to see what God's doing in it. You know, how many times has death brought salvation? A lot. Sometimes it takes the darkness to get us to see the light. Many times death has brought, the threat of death has brought salvation to a person. But many times a death of a saved person has brought life to those that didn't have it. It's bringing the good out of the bad. And then we have day-to-day things. Here's a get back to Josh. You know, that you've heard about the bus. You all know about the bus. I'm not going to go in about the bus. But the bus had trouble starting in our driveway. You know, and I'm not a mechanic. And it wouldn't start. It's making a buzzing, turn on the ignition. And I don't know what it is. And don't, you know, Joni puts out, would anybody be willing to help take a look at it? And Josh volunteers. He lives just outside the neighborhood, I think. So he comes and looks at it. And you know, we're doing things with it. And batteries, we're charging batteries, you know, and stuff. And still, and then he comes back and make sure those are all good. Those are all charged up, running right, you know. Come over, then we try it again. Well, maybe it's a starter, you know. We got the old screwdrivers down there touching different parts, you know, sparks flying and all that stuff, trying to get it started and melt the ends of a couple, but still won't start. That's not it. So he finally comes away. He said, I'm going to call. My sister used to drive a bus back in the day, and I'll ask her some things. And she mentioned that used to be a thing on the bus. The driver had to go back to press it, which made him look at all the seats, I guess, and see if everybody was gone, but back at the emergency door. So he comes back a third time, and he goes back there. And of course, it's got the big emergency door handle. Well, then it's got a little, you know, $5 little latch thing that goes over, you know, you lift up over and back down again that locks it in place. Well, he goes back there, and lo and behold, that little latch place behind the plate also had a plunger safety thing on it. Not just the big one, the big handle, but that one had a plunger on it. And luckily it was, well, adjustable, a couple of nuts. You loosen this one, move it, tighten that one. You know, you can adjust it a little bit and vroom, start it right up. So, but, you know, you think... Think when you have the problems and they just keep happening, Satan just doesn't want this to get off the ground. You know, he's doing everything he can to stop this. But you see what God's doing in it. You know, I don't know if 3 days had anything to do with it or not, but three days things happen. And you know, we got to know Josh. You know, we got to. But both of us at different times said, you know, it was nice to have a Joshua come. But Joshua meant Jesus saves and the salvation. So no pressure, Josh. It's up to you. But got to know him and got to talk and visit. And, you know, at the end, he wouldn't take anything. You know, no, let us. He was, no, no. Don't want anything, just glad I can help. Say, well, we take you and your family out to eat. No, that's not going to happen. And he said, well, how about we give you, you can take your family out then. He said, no, that's not going to happen. He said, all I want is prayers. So, I think Josh, from our conversation, has some family issues that he's trying to work through, trying to address. So, I think we want to continue that conversation. See if we can help Josh. But I think what was bad was good. The Lord sent Josh to us, not just to fix the bus, so that maybe we can help Josh too. I don't know if Josh knows Christ or not at this point. Hope to find out. But hope to be meeting with him more. But God used something bad to bring a relationship about, to help someone. And there's story after story in your life. If you have the vision, you can see it. It's not just circumstances. Yeah, a neighbor came down, fix the bus. That'd be easy to see. It's about more than that. It's about seeing God in it, having the vision to see what he's doing. He uses those times for his purposes. You know, in the end, the spiritually blind will have to come to a point where they got to face a decision. You know, in mercy, God wants to use you to show them his way, where they can open their eyes, they can be fed, and have a changed life. You know, those soldiers he blinded, he took him to where they wanted to attack in the first place. He took them to Israel. They were seeking Israel. He took them where they wanted to go. They were put in a place of a decision. You know, the king said, shall I kill them? You know, Elisha said, no. No, feed them and let them go. That's what God does. People are seeking something. Now bring them to a place where they can see grace. They can have their eyes opened. They can be fed and live a changed life. I have an invitation in just a minute. I want to finish with Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now again, set your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, what are you looking at? Do you have just superficial sight? Or do you have true vision of what's really happening in life? You know, you got to run the race, but you got to run it correctly. You have to be steady. You have to be in the Word. You have to be in prayer. You know, baseball players, I go back to baseball, you know, people play in the outfield. They have a way to see the ball too. They just don't run around haphazardly, okay? They don't run like heel to toe. That bounces you up and down. They run on the balls of their feet so that they're level at all times, so that the ball they're running after isn't going like this in their judgment. They know how to run to get to the point to make the catch. They've learned it. They've been taught it. They're running steady. We need to run the race with a vision to see it plainly and make the catch. But you have to be in the Word. You have to be in prayer. You have to use those tools that you've been taught. Now, we can obviously see physical things happening, but spiritual insight, spiritual vision can open us up to so many spiritual realities that's happening, that's going on right now. Pray for those things. Well, the world says seeing is believing. Even a couple of apostles had a little trouble with that. You know, unless I touch, I'm not going to believe. Unless I see, I'm not going to believe. But faith says believing is seeing. You believe, you'll see. So are you seeing deep enough to see God's presence and power working in your life? You know, believers have to see things, have the ability to see things unbelievers can't see. He's given you a superpower. Have the vision of what He's doing in lives. If you're having trouble seeing Him, then fix your eyes on Jesus. Go back to the beginning. Fix your eyes on Jesus. But look for those things. Look for Him working. But just don't see things every day as they're happening in front of you. Dig a little deeper. See the vision of what maybe God might be doing and how He's working in your life. Let's pray.